Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by the great people at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. You know, one of the things that's very important to me, I don't care whether I'm picking out an insurance agent, picking out an attorney, whatever, it's personal relationships. Now, who do I trust? Who do I get along with? Well, everybody in that Purdy office understands all of that. They want the right insurance for you that has you completely covered at the best price. And if there's a claim, they jump on it as if it happened to them. That's what I want in an insurance agent. And not only that, they give back to the community and have been tremendous stewards in the community for decades. 25th year of the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament is going to be a week from Wednesday at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. We will be there. We'll have the show out there from 3 to 5. We're proud and privileged to be a part of it for the fifth consecutive year. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. In overtime, the Islanders and the Florida Panthers. We pick up the call of Chris King on WRHU.
Tavares, right circle, walks in, shoots Luongo the save. Rebound, Tavares, throws it in, and scores! John Tavares has won it in overtime! And yes, yes, yes! The Islanders have their first playoff series win in 23 years!
And I'm going to get paid for the next round. I'm paid by the game.
When was the last time a team from Brooklyn won a playoff series? Did that ever happen? I don't know if it has.
Well, obviously the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Well, sure. Yeah.
1955. 55 Brooklyn Dodgers won. I guess that would be it. Because the Brooklyn Nets haven't done anything since they've gone to Brooklyn. But, yeah. The Islanders advanced. And so they move on. The Penguins are going to get the Capitals next. That's going to be a great series. That is going to be a great series. Ovechkin, Crosby. I think the Penguins are the better team right now, even though the Capitals won the President's Cup.
I was surprised to hear that they haven't faced off against each other in the playoffs since 2009.
No, it's been a while. But this will be interesting. This will be a lot of fun. Now, the Islanders, let's see. They get Tampa Bay, right? They get Tampa Bay next. By the way, John Tavares scored 2 goals in the game yesterday. John Tavares is one heck of a hockey player. He really is good. All right. Sam Bradford has demanded a trade. Really? I'm sure we all saw it coming, but still, this isn't completely logical. Let's bring in the Sage of Philadelphia from KYW 1060 Radio, and that would be Matt Leon. Matt, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Always a pleasure, sir.
Sam Bradford now demands a trade. I know you're shocked.
Yeah, this whole thing, I mean, before the ESPN report came out, a guy for Yahoo reported that Bradford wouldn't be asking for a trade. So it's not surprising. If you're Bradford, though, do you really have any grounds for asking a trade? This is a guy that's cashed an awful lot of checks for not accomplishing a whole heck of a lot. Now, because of injuries and such, and he was pretty good last year, but when you sign this deal in March, that's basically a one-year deal, you got to be smart enough and understand kind of what you're getting into. And I think the trade the Eagles made was a mistake to move up to number two. But that aside, I don't see how it really changes life for Bradford that he would pull this card.
Do the Eagles really like Carson Wentz that much?
Sure seems that way. I mean, you gave up an awful lot. I mean, I'm an FCS guy. I think it's a very high level of football. I don't think it gets nearly the credit that it should. But that being said, you're going all in to basically go after a guy that played at North Dakota State and was only a starter for a couple of years. Now, North Dakota State's a juggernaut at that level. I mean, and his numbers are phenomenal, but you're asking a whole heck of a lot. And I think one of the things that I find interesting is, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but this wasn't like last year's draft where as soon as the season was over, everybody said it's Winston and Mariota. And that's one, right. Two, and that's how. I don't remember back in late November people talking Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, 1 and 2. I kind of got the feeling that they were the best quarterbacks, but, you know, it wasn't really a strong class. And I'm always nervous when people skyrocket up draft boards without playing any actual football. That rarely ends well. So that's kind of how I look at it. But they must see something very special. And, boy, do they have a lot invested in the quarterback position when you consider Bradford, this pick, and Chase Daniels getting $21 million for 3 years. So,
well, I mean, let's face it, Matt. A really, really good quarterback can mask a lot of sins. Tom Brady does with New England. You can talk about how brilliant New England is, but he does. Ben Roethlisberger has masked a lot of problems at times with the Steelers. Aaron Rodgers has masked a lot of problems with Green Bay. I mean, a great quarterback can mask a lot of problems. A good quarterback like Sam Bradford, who's good, not great, your problems still come out. I think that's pretty fair.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing. If they make the deal, if they draft Wentz and he turns into a star, then it's worth it.
Sure.
Anything you give up is worth it. But anything short of that, and if he turns out to be a good quarterback, let's say, if you get Sam Bradford-type production, is that worth three drafts? You know, and then, God forbid, what if he's a bust? You know, not only do you swing and miss on this one, but, you know, you don't really have a full complement of draft picks till like 2019. I mean, I applaud taking the chance and going for it if you think he's the guy. But if you're wrong, you're in trouble.
Yeah, it's a big one. And for Sam Bradford, look, let's face it, he's in a great spot. He can demand all the trades he wants. He's in a great spot. He either stays there and starts, or somebody else is going to pick him up, and they will because everybody's looking for one.
Yeah, that's why I don't quite understand why, you know, this the whole thing about asking for a trade. I mean, it's basically a one-year deal he's got. And so he would start this year basically under any circumstances, and then he'd pretty much be in the same situation where if he plays really, really well, and he's going to be and the Eagles decide to cut him, which I would imagine they're not going to pay him a ton of money if they spent all this to draft Carson Wentz. Then he's got the hammer going out on the free agent market in a quarterback starved league and can basically write his ticket. So it gives him all the advantage. I agree with you. He's at a great spot. That's why I don't quite understand why he would play this card in this situation.
No, I'm completely baffled by that because he did not sign a 5 or 6 year deal. He signed a 2 year deal, which you and I both know is essentially a 1 year deal. So that part I don't get. Very quickly on the Phillies, why have they been decent so far?
Because they've got starting pitching that gives them a chance to win every night. I mean, if you look at their starts, they've really only gotten one terrible start from Charlie Morton, his first, and then on Saturday, Morton only pitched 2 innings because he got hurt, so I kind of throw that away. But other than that, I mean, even yesterday, Eichhoff got hit around in the 6th inning, but he had the lead heading into that inning, and it just unraveled quickly. But you look at Nola, you look at Helix, you know, for the most part, every night they have a guy out there that gives them a chance to win. And after a disastrous first week, the bullpen has kind of settled down for the time being. Still don't score many runs. They had a good weekend in Milwaukee. That's probably more of an indictment of the Brewers' pitching staff. but I think it, right at the top of the list, it's starting pitching that, for the most part, has kept them in every game. And, I mean, heck, if they go, 9-10, if they hover around 500 all year, that's a Pete McCannon should get Manager of the Year consideration, because that would really be something.
Absolutely agree. If they were, I mean, I'd have to give him a lot of credit. I think he handles players really well. I think, is that safe to say?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's the perfect guy for where they are as an organization right now. When they're trying to kind of figure some things out, they're basically casting a wide net with some guys and saying, hey, this is your chance. You know, you go out there, young kids, some veteran cast-offs, and he's the perfect guy. Really has a great rapport with the Latin players because he's managed and coached in Venezuela and such, so he's got a lot of connection. I think it's Venezuela, but you know, he's coached in the winter leagues and stuff like that. And it's a very relaxed atmosphere, and you know, so far I think he's saying he's getting the most out of this group, no question.
It's an interesting mix right now because they have not gone full bore yet on the young players in the organization, so there's a real mix. The young players that are there now would be Cesar Hernandez, Freddie Galvis, but Michael Franco. What, you know, I remember watching him play 12 games against State College when he was at Williamsport, and man, did I like him. I said, this guy's got upward mobility. But when I talk upward mobility, Matt, I'm always thinking, hey, look, he'll get the double A, and then it'll be make or break as to where he goes from there. That's how I look at it. I never look at a guy and say, hey, he's going to be in the majors, because I think that's ridiculous. It's too long a climb. What has made him a good major league hitter so far? Because now the league's had a chance to adjust back to him, and he still hits.
Yeah, he's an aggressive swinger, but he doesn't strike out a ton, number one. Like, he's not, you watch some of his swings, and he goes for broke a lot of times when he's got the count in his favor and stuff like that. And usually guys like that, you know, they're going to post high strikeout numbers. He doesn't really do that. He doesn't walk a ton yet, but boy, the ball just explodes off his bat. He sees the ball well, hits it well to all field. And also, a lot of people don't talk about this. He's done a heck of a job in the field.
Yeah.
He has really done a nice job at third base, not just making the routine plays, but he makes once every couple of games, he makes a spectacular play. And he's really kind of the linchpin. He's the only guy providing really consistent offense with regards to extra bases and home runs. Howard, I think, has 4 home runs, but you take those swings away and he hasn't done much. He is the only guy in that lineup that if I'm in the pitcher's meeting the day before, I'm game planning specifically, I can't let this guy beat you. And that's exactly what he did the whole weekend in Milwaukee. He just went bombs away against the Brewers pitching staff.
He's one guy right away, and then eventually Aaron Nola is another guy. But there, and I think Velasquez would be another one. Where I start looking at them and start considering as an organization whether I sign them to long-term contracts so they can avoid the ugliness of arbitration.
Yeah, they're definitely the ones. I'm in the minority. I am a Cesar Hernandez guy.
I don't think he's a star,
but I think good things seem to happen with him at the plate, and I think he has a good idea. He does some stupid things on the bases that you hope he kind of will grow out of as he gets more reps and stuff like that, but I think he is a guy that can be a piece. You know, Freddie Galvis does a nice job. I think maybe in a perfect world he's a super utility guy because he can play the outfield in a pinch. But you start to look, I actually just spoke to one of the Lehigh Valley broadcasters today, and guys like Nick Williams, another pitcher, Jake Thompson, you're starting to see at AAA, these guys are starting to cook. And, you know, that's what's going to be exciting about this year from a Phillies fan. You know, obviously every night you want to win and you want to get a win or whatever, but past the wins and losses, every couple weeks you're probably going to get an opportunity to see something to get excited about. Either somebody's going to make his major league debut or somebody's going to get their first start or somebody you've heard a lot about. And it's going to be kind of a pretty constant pipeline of that. And I think it's going to be fun. I mean, I still, despite the nice start here, I still don't see more than 70-72 wins. But like I said, if they can get up around 500 and hang out around there most of the season, this fan base will be thrilled.
Yeah, it's a foundation year, but sometimes it's fun watching the foundation be poured because then you know there's going to be a house on top of it.
Yeah, and there's no expectations too. It's always fun when there's no expectations. When you can I mean, you can watch a game, and if they blow a lead in the ninth inning, well, it was nice to watch the first eight. But that's really the mentality. You know, you're not white-knuckling it with everything and not playing everything and worrying about, well, this was nice, but now the Mets come to town, or now this happened. You're just taking it for what it's worth.
Matt, great to hear from you. Have a great week.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia on the Phillies. By the way, they're off tonight, then off to Washington to take on the Nationals in a three-game set. Tomorrow night, 7:05, 6:30 airtime. 7:05 Wednesday, 6:30 airtime on WKOK. And then they'll have an afternoon game coming up on Thursday, so which will then lead into the NFL draft. All right. That's what's coming up. So off night tonight for the Phils. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Always great to spend every day with you, and that includes especially today. We're brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have been incredible serving this valley for decades. And not only that, they do it in such a way where you get the right insurance for the best price, and if there's a claim, they jump on it as if it happened to them because they know you're concerned. You want your insurance agent to care. I just told you what Purdy Insurance is all about. They care. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And don't forget about the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, 25th annual, fifth straight year that we'll be there for it at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club a week from Wednesday, May 4th. I've had this date circled for months. I'm anxious to get out there. Be a lot of fun. Now, do we know yet, Sean, if Kevin's playing?
He's kind of playing coy with me about it. I thought it was a done deal.
Look, I mean, look, I don't. Do we need a press conference? What? What are you, we're holding out for more.
He's a suit. I mean, he's a suit now. He'll be dressed. He'll be dressed to the nines for the presser if it goes that route. So
fabulous. That's just fabulous. I'm trying to work it. I'm trying to work it, and I don't know if I can because I know he's not here next week. But I've been trying to work it to get Jack Ham to do this with me one year. And I think you guys would find that fun, you know, and get, you know, and get Ron Moeller, because Moeller can flat out play. I mean, to be honest with you, if I get those two, we win the tournament. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, I go from being the A player to the C player in a hurry. So, I mean, I'm seriously, I'm trying to talk, you know, he's got something, I think it's down in South Carolina he's got to be at next week. But I am trying to convince my broadcast partner that now is the time to come out and join the gang. And I'm hoping we can do it next year. Okay? I'm trying. And, of course, Moeller, it's a day off from work, so he's in. He's done. All right, Tom Brady. This is, as far as I'm concerned, this is all on the National Football League Players Association. It is going to be portrayed that Roger Goodell won. Roger Goodell didn't win anything today. He won nothing. All right, sir. I mean, he won zero. Anytime you have to win something by a court order, well, what have you won? Have you won it on merit? He won it on the fact that the National Football League Players Association didn't bargain it. That's why. In Major League Baseball, this is not an issue. Marvin Miller, who should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, Marvin Miller negotiated arbitration in situations like this years ago. The model has been there, and the National Football League Players Association evidently didn't go down that route. And what is a simple equipment violation, if found guilty, which is anywhere from a $10,000 to $25,000 fine, has turned into this. Now, Brady obviously expected it. You don't restructure your contract, which is heavy on bonus, light on salary, unless you expect that this is a possibility. Brady has gone from losing $2.1 million in his previous contract to over a four-game span losing a total of $235,000. Actually, you lose, $235,000. That's what he'd lose. Then there's this story. Steph Curry's going to be out 2 weeks. Knee sprain. The league MVP is going to be out 2 weeks. Sports Business Daily reporting that Mike Tirico is going to leave ESPN and join NBC. We have a juicy half hour coming up. A lot of topics. Sam Bradford wants to be traded. Brady out four games. Curry out 2 weeks. Mike Tirico out of ESPN. Other than that, another slow sports day. Give us a call at 1-800-795-9565. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. They get you the right insurance, the best price, and they care about every client. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Remember, there's the SMC way and the other guy's way. You go with the SMC way every time. Sean Kerry alongside, another boring day. Let's get to the sports bozo of the day, and that is the National Football League Players Association. Tom Brady is a union member. He is not going to criticize his own union. You don't do that. But inexplicably, this union has given the commissioner the right to hand out discipline, as he did in this case. That should have been negotiated. There should be arbitration. And they are the sports bozos of the day because they did a lousy job of representing their clientele when it came time to negotiate a new contract. Does Roger Goodell have the right to fine the Patriots and dock them draft choices? Yes. That is management. He has the power to do that. He docked them a first-round pick this year and a fourth-round pick next year, and he fined them $1 million. If he just does that, he has satisfied the other owners who want blood because they think the Patriots cheat. Whether it's Spygate or something else, whatever, there are some owners who perceive that the Patriots are not on the up-and-up, that they're always looking for every advantage. Okay. If he does that, that's enough. What he did with Brady is so far off the rails, and the fact that it is dragged on now for, 16 months now. 16 months, this is still a story, right? About a football. About footballs. Your basic equipment violation.
I read the Wells report. Tell me where in the Wells report is Brady complicit to the footballs. Tell me where in the Wells report that the two equipment guys, McNally and Jastrzemski, are. What? They went into the bathroom and came out 60 seconds later? Whoa. Okay. I mean, 247 pages? That's it? There are PSIs from one gauge, PSIs from the other gauge. Very conveniently, they ignored the PSIs from the gauge that showed everything was legal. I mean, who's to know which gauge is right? I don't know which gauge is right. Do you? Now, you can call me up and tell me, oh, no, it had to be. Okay, then how do you know which gauge is right? Go ahead, tell me which gauge is right. It could be Wells is correct, that's the correct gauge and they're under. Or it could be the other gauge and Wells is wrong and it's that one. You don't know which one's right. I don't know either. You don't know. And Wells doesn't know. I don't like reports that craft the report around the evidence that substantiates the premise. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. That's wrong. And it's unfair. If both gauges were in the same thing, now you got it. Okay, you got two right there. They both say approximately the same thing. I'm with you. Here we go. But now when they're both that different, and now you got to choose. Well, obviously it has to be that one. It's got to be. Who's off the hook? The officials. Walt Anderson and his crew allegedly checked the footballs before the game. Really? You did? Really? You sure? 19 years, maybe checked one or two, moved on. Or did you do all of them? Really? You handled the footballs on every single play. You didn't notice? You didn't notice? The difference between the Colts ball and the Patriots ball, which is supposed to be so dramatic. You didn't notice? You handled the football on every play. Got your hands around the ball. Didn't seem a little smaller to you? Supposedly the ball that was intercepted, the one that called into question this whole thing, was allegedly dramatically under. Well, three officials handled that football and put it into play before it started. You didn't notice? No. But for seven figures, the officials got off the hook. This whole thing is one bizarre trip here. Does Goodell legally have the right to do this? Yeah, it's in the collective bargaining agreement. He can suspend him. Doesn't mean he's right to do it. But he has the right to do it. And that's what this was about. Now, you can take it to the full Second Circuit Court. We'll see what Brady wants to do there. Eventually, you can take it to the Supreme Court if you want. There's no greater thrill than listening to PSI explanations before Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I mean, really? Does that bring with it a picture? Really? Sonia Sotomayor, what? You're doing what? After that, I think you can bring it to The Hague, can't you? This whole thing's insane. Sam Bradford wants a trade. Why? Why do you want a trade? Sure, they're going to draft a quarterback. Sure, they want that quarterback eventually to be the starter. You have a two-year deal that in reality is really only a one-year deal. Go play. Show how good you are. And then when you get out in the open market, you're really going to have some value. You're going to get a lot more money if you're really good this year than you would have had without it. Bradford's had, what, one healthy season in his career? That was last year. I'm supposed to be wowed and bowled over by that? Really?
And the surprising part of it all, we're not even 2 months since he signed that two-year deal.
He wants out? Out of what? He's in a great spot.
I want more money.
You're not going to get it. Okay? You're not going to get it. Steph Curry's going to be out 2 weeks, sprained knee. The Warriors are going to have to survive now without him. That will be interesting. That will be very interesting to see how they do that. And then Mike Tirico, evidently, is going to leave ESPN. Join NBC, be the lead voice for Thursday Night Football. And have you ever met Mike?
I never have, and I know you've had a chance to speak with him from time to time.
Many times. The last time I talked to Mike was in March, right? Mike loves golf. And ESPN and ABC are now out of the golf business. And the British Open just went to NBC. Their first year is coming up. This would give Mike a full golf schedule, which he loves doing. It would give him the British Open, the Ryder Cup, which he loves doing. And it would also, you know, give him Thursday Night Football, which would be great. And the lead guy to take his spot on Monday Night Football would be Sean McDonough, who just re-upped with ESPN.
Would NBC,
Dick and Milton,
before we get to Dick and Milton, would NBC consider Mike Tirico do play-by-play for Notre Dame football?
Probably. I would. I mean, I don't know what Dan Hicks is doing it right now.
I believe, yeah.
It was Tom Hammond.
Yeah, it is Dan Hicks, yeah.
I think I would talk to Dan Hicks about that and see how he felt about it. Because, I mean, you have with it the Olympics, obviously, which is great. Al Michaels has 2 years to go on his Sunday Night Football deal. Now, Al Michaels, I think you'd love to keep. He's still the best in the business. Mike's right there behind him. Mike is just like, Mike's as good as anybody. Mike's great, I think, at it. But it does put in place a successor that is there because he's younger than Al Michaels is. Not by a lot, but he's younger.
And if not Sean McDonough for Monday Night Football, would they move Brent Musburger up to it?
No. Musburger's up in his 70s now. They're not going to do that. Sean McDonough would get Monday Night Football. I'm pretty sure that's the direction they'd like to go. Sean's a pro's pro. I like Sean personally, too. Sean is a really great guy to talk to. Mike's a crow. I have a lot of laughs when I talk with Mike. Let's get to Dick in Milton. Hey, Dick, sorry to make you wait. How are you doing today?
That's good, Steve. I just wanted to make a quick comment about the Supreme Court and the NFL. And because the way the court's set up now, basically, whatever the ruling is now will stand because it's going to end up as a 4-4 vote, most likely. I mean, that's the way it's going to go. And the only way that they might redeem themselves is if Byron Wizard White left an opinion before he passed away and it has it sealed somewhere in an envelope there on this situation. Other than that, they're going to end up probably just...
Everything's four right now. I will admit, deflated footballs have never been brought to the highest court.
Well, I'm sure that it probably won't go that far, but the way things are going to be going here is basically whatever the rule is now is going to be the official ruling because they're not going to change anything. They're going to show everybody what's going on now. Everything will be a 4-4 vote, and every rule will just stand. There's no sense in taking anything there if that's the way they're going to do stuff. But I just thought it was kind of cute. The only guy who knew anything about football that was ever over there, maybe. I don't know. Maybe Shirley Temple Black.
I'm trying to think on the high court. I don't think Souter, Alito, Roberts, or Clarence Thomas ever played. And obviously Kagan and Sotomayor and Ginsburg. And it's is it sad that I know who the Supreme Court justices are?
You just reeled them right off there. That's excellent.
And Anthony Kennedy's the eighth, I think.
Right.
How about that? Yeah, how about a win for the sports guy? Can Lawrence do this?
He might. Sure, they don't recognize half of them though. He doesn't recognize half, and Joe doesn't recognize the other half. So kind of quiet. They actually end up as a tie also.
Dick, I got to tell you this one. I got to tell you this one. You'll like this. Sean and I always have to do a promo when the show's over that airs the next day. And I was telling Sean, I said one of these days, I was going to say, "Hi, everybody. This is Steve Jones. Coming up tomorrow, Joe McGranahan and I are going to have an argument."
There you go. Whatever you want to talk about, he'll take the opposite side. And then, I'm not sure who's going to settle it. Maybe Fan Mitchell.
I think
Fan actually might know
Mitchell
more about football than they do.
I think Fan is a really big race guy, isn't he? He likes auto racing.
Yep, he's a, he's a big race car guy, right?
Yeah, he is.
So he would be more apt to be.
Him and Kevin had conversations in the hallway. They'd last over a half an hour after on the mark during some mornings. Absolutely.
Yeah, he really does know racing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Break him up in the hallway.
But anyhow, I don't know where you're going to go with the inflated, deflated footballs. I have no idea. Maybe the season will start again before they actually settle the thing.
Yeah, he'll have to appeal it to do it. That's going to be his call now as to whether he appeals it. Again, to me, the biggest, in a serious point of view, if Brady should be upset with anybody, it's his own union. Because they are the ones that allowed the commissioner to be in this position to mete out that kind of discipline when Major League Baseball, on the other hand, won't allow that to happen.
Yeah, it's sports have really turned into whatever. I'm not sure how you'd even define it anymore at almost every level. And it's pretty sad. You know, it just really is. You know, it used to be a time a guy could go out and play ball in the yard and that would be sports. Now it's everybody's involved with the, you know, from commercials to umpires, referees, unions, it's actually not much fun anymore.
Saturdays and Sundays are fun, Dick. Monday through Friday is not that. Monday through Friday, but Monday through Friday is not anymore.
Yeah.
Because that's Monday through Friday is this court case, that suspension, this guy's in trouble, this guy's being indicted. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, last night the two breaking stories were Johnny Manziel's getting indicted and Byron Scott got fired. Well, that was fun. I can't wait for the game. When's the game?
I don't know. You would have thought they would have waited till the end of the NBA season to fire their coaches yet. Why would you want to take the publicity away from the actual games in progress? That's just me thinking about it.
The Lakers are out of it. Okay, so they're out of it. I think the fact that since their season is done, if I'm management, I want to make a move and just say, hey, look, for two reasons. Number one, it opens the door to Byron Scott getting another job quicker as an assistant coach or something. So it's beneficial to him that he knows where he stands. And number two, it opens the pool up to the Lakers as to what they want to do with their head coaching job. So I mean, with their season being over, I would have done it the same way because I think it gives everybody the best option moving forward. I don't think it steals anything from the playoffs. It's just news being made by you that you're changing coaches.
Yeah. Okay. Well, everybody that I've listened to thinks Luke Walton's a shoe-in for the job anyhow. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
I tell you, he did a great job when Steve Kerr was out with his back problem.
Right.
He was the head coach of the Warriors and did such a great job. They got off to, what, I don't know, a 34-2 start or some number like that. So if you give him Steph Curry and Draymond Green, he does really well.
I wonder what the odds have changed for the Golden State Warriors of winning the playoffs without Stephen Curry playing.
Boy, that's a good question.
I'm sure they've changed dramatically. I mean, they're not the same. They just aren't.
Yeah, they are not the same. I think now if he is out and say the Clippers get past Portland, I think the Clippers would be next. And if they are, that's a seven-game series. I don't think they can get past San Antonio without him.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm sure if he can play, he'll play again.
Oh, no, if he can play, he'll play. He's tough as nails, but they say with this MCL sprain, he's out 2 weeks.
That's probably five games?
Yeah, well, it's least, five games minimum? It's got to be.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. Anyhow, I'll let you go.
Well, I thought we did a great job of solving most of the world's problems. If you want, we can talk about Iran's nuclear deal tomorrow.
No, we'll let that go to another day. Anyhow,
I got you.
Nice talking to you. See ya.
Thanks, Dick.
Great talking. Thanks, buddy. Dick and Milton. We'll come back and wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. So Mike Tirico is going to leave for NBC, where he'd probably be the lead guy for Thursday Night Football, golf coverage, and also be a part of the Olympics. Okay. The Brady thing with the NFL, look, this is not a win for Roger Goodell. It's just a botch by the Players Association because they didn't negotiate it in. So we've talked about that. Josh Norman signed with the Redskins. This is a very interesting signing. Have you noticed this signing has been criticized by people? Have you noticed that, Sean? People have criticized Josh Norman signing with the Redskins. And you want to know why?
Some have said, did Daniel Snyder have something to do with bringing him in?
Right. Now listen to this. Okay. Right. But you want to know why the Redskins are being criticized for signing Josh Norman? If Josh Norman signed with the Patriots, how would this be perceived? Wow, look at the Patriots. Wow, a great cover guy. They got their Darrell Revis back. Hey, all right. They're brilliant. Patriots are smart. If the Cleveland Browns signed Josh Norman, you're like, what are they doing? What are they thinking? When you are the Washington Redskins and you have signed Albert Haynesworth, and you have traded the farm for Robert Griffin III. Any move you make is going to get panned. Norman's going to be an interesting player in Washington. I think he's going to be an excellent corner. I think he has a chance to be better than D'Angelo Hall ever was with Washington. D'Angelo Hall was good with the Redskins. But he's going to change systems. Carolina's a cover three that plays cover three like a matchup zone. And Carolina has a superior pass rush. Washington has a good pass rush, especially in Ryan Kerrigan. But the Redskins are going to get panned because they're the Redskins and they don't have a good history in this regard. That's why they're getting panned. They gave him $15 million a year. They gave him $75 million, the Redskins. People feel like it's Albert Haynesworth all over again because it's the Redskins that did it. Remember, when Haynesworth went to the Patriots after the Redskins, hey, he was praised. You know, Ocho Cinco, hey, they're going to get something out of him. The Patriots got nothing out of either guy. Yet when they signed each guy, they got praised. It's all perception. I think it's a good signing by the Redskins. Now they have to go out and start winning more games. They didn't beat a single team with a winning record last year.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.